Sunday night performance, and we're looking to have a good time tonight. We've got a good lineup for you, and we want to welcome all of you here, and we're glad to see all of you here. How many of you were here last year? Good many, yeah, most of you. Well, how many of you is going to be here next year? That's what we want. Be sure you come back next year and be with us. We got a special group up here that is a good Florida group. Some folks that I used to know when I was going to the University of Florida, I had the good fortune to meet these folks. A lot of you might remember the Red and Murphy Bluegrass Band, and this is part of that group. We've got Red Hendry and his son Chris here tonight. And we wanted to make sure that y'all know that up here at the Fife booth, they've got the CDs up there. So when you hear this performance, I know you're going to want to go up there and take some of it home with you. And also, Chris has got a mandolin instruction video showing you how to do the Bill Monroe-style mandolin up there.
That's right.
And don't forget, too, the Murphy Method teaching tapes that you can find, I believe, on Homespun and all that. And I'm sure they've got a website. If you search for some of that, you'll find plenty of it. This fella here is one of the finest bluegrass musicians I have heard. And his son, Chris, here is one you had better watch, because I've been listening to him, and we heard him here last year, and you can look for great things to come out of him, and you'll be able to say that you saw him when he started off here at the Florida Folk Festival. Y'all make him welcome, Red Hendry and Chris.
1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you. We are Red and Christopher Hendry. I wanted to get that out right in front in case you thought we were Rowan and Martin or somebody. We've got a series of original and also traditional music for you that we picked up at various places in numerous ethnic field trips into the Tri-Cities area. The Tri-Cities area, that's Waldo, Stark, and Keystone Heights. We want to dedicate this show to our good buddy Agamemnon Abramowitz of Habersham County, Georgia, who says that life is what happens to you while you're making other plans. And he says, experience is what you get when you didn't get what you really wanted. We've got some tunes to play for you, a few things from people like Will McLean and Gamble Rogers and our other heroes. Right now, here's a number that I learned from our buddy Agamemnon after he just escaped from an orgy in an Airstream trailer. Well, they figured they were safe with their orgy in the Airstream trailer. It was an Airstream trailer park. They were surrounded by 98 other Airstream trailers. It's a pretty big blip on anybody's radar scope. The sheriff gained access to the trailer park in an iron lung towed behind one of the Airstream trailers. All the neighbors thought it was a dinghy. He got into the trailer by using an Alabama search warrant. An Alabama search warrant, that's where the sheriff comes up to the front of the trailer, sends his deputy around to the back. Sheriff knocks onto the front door, deputy yells, "Come in!" They busted everybody in the trailer. Everybody except Agamemnon. He was in the trailer convenience center at the time of the raid. He got out through the window and went crawl-hopping up through the bracken. Well, it would have been all right. He would have gotten away with it if he hadn't turned around to look at his Airstream trailer one more time. And I'm not saying that was a wild party, but the instant Agamemnon turned and looked at his old trailer, he was instantly transformed into a pillar of salt. Well, of course, all he had to do to get changed back to normal was to turn and look the other way. But right then, a herd of cows came up and started licking on him, and he said it felt so good, he thought he'd just stay that way. Thank you very much. That's one of our favorite numbers from a long time ago called Pretty Little Red Wings. Now we have a Will McLean song to sing for you. You know, Will wrote hundreds of songs and stories about the state of Florida and its people and things that have happened here. And this is a song that Will wrote about the very first electrocution in the state of Florida. Well, it seems that a man had been sentenced to hang, but in the meantime, the law changed, and so they took him down to Rayford, where the new electric chair had been set up. And at the appointed day and hour, they took him into the electrocution chamber and strapped him to the chair and put a hood over his face. And then, for 45 minutes, the prison warden and the county sheriff argued with each other about which one of them had the job of pulling the switch and sending the man into eternity. At the end of this disgraceful confabulation, an early ACLU type wearing John Denver waffle stompers and carrying a bowl of granola in one hand and a stack of law books in the other came in there and informed these two clods that there was a certain maximum set number of minutes you could keep anybody waiting for his execution. They had far exceeded that, and there was nothing they could do but to take him out of the chair and send him back to his prison cell. And that's how the first electrocution in the state of Florida ended. We're not exactly eat up with liberals here, are we? And the man's name, as it turns out, was actually Jim Williams. But for euphonious reason. Will McLean called him Abraham Washington. Washington, his first name Abraham, the judge and valley rider, open to the promised land. But before he'd met his fateful doom, the hanging law was dead. They took him down to Rafertown to the electric chair instead. They strapped into that electric chair, and there while he was waiting, the warden and the county sheriff were talking and debating which one of them should throw the switch and send that man to hell. But no decision could be reached, in prison he must dwell. They took him from that electric chair, his sweat had turned to blood. They told him that his life was spared, and from his eyes did flood the salty tears of gratefulness, 'twould happen to all men. And there on his knees he made a vow to never sit again. Fair and green, where a mother and her little child walked happy and serene, when suddenly a vicious bull did charge that frightened wife, and Abraham, he jumped the fence and he saved that woman's life, the baby too. A pardon for Washington, his first name Abraham, who'd made a vow to never sit again upon this land. The last accounts of Washington, the day was cold and wet. They said, "Abe, have you kept your vow?" And he said, "I ain't sit yet." Thank you. Well, it's Christopher's time on the program to play you a tune. Do you have anything in particular to say about this number, Christopher, before we launch into it?
It's pretty fast. I was inspired to write this song after reading some ancient Sumerian mythology. It's a bluegrass tune, kind of. And what relevance that has is of little significance, except for that's what I was reading when I was inspired to write the song. It's called Hand of the Ananukai. Thank you.
Here's a song now. Want to gamble Roger's songs? We can't finger pick it the way Gamble did, but we can give the song a try. And Gamble used to talk about this song, used to talk about a rather desolate area. It used to be along the North Carolina, North Georgia border, around a place called Blood Mountain, and running on up to Bryson City. He said there's a standard gig in Cherokee, North Carolina, which even long ago was already Tourist City. In Cherokee, North Carolina, the standard thing is to drive along the main street in your Dodge Dart Swinger. You find an Indian standing on the sidewalk. You flip him a quarter. The Indian breaks into a cruel parody of a war dance, and you lean out the window of the car with your Polaroid Swinger and snap his picture. Well, I did see an Indian skewer a quarter in midair one time with a bow and arrow. Well, it was a fiberglass bow. And it was an aluminum arrow with plastic feathers. But I guess the point was that in the hands of a real Indian, a bow is a bow. On the other hand, you can't do this in Bryson City. You can flip a quarter at a Bryson City Indian, and he'll kick your butt back down the mountain to Asheville.
Beyond Blood Mountain, I move by shadow bound, where the snake's head grins and the greyhound tends the ground. Out on the grim high lonesome, I find no man around. Her legs untried, my lady lies in white, where love and sleep are strange unto the night. She burns a candle for the devil and wonders, can the time be right? At the edge of night, I shunned her light forever. Starlight in your room. So I'm going to Bryson City, where the Cherokee rose tree blooms. Beyond Blood Mountain, I move by shadow bound, where the snake's head grins and the gray hawk tends the ground. And the spirit of living is a river frozen underground. Beyond Blood Mountain, beyond Blood Mountain, beyond Blood Mountain.
I'll tell you what. Here's a number, a composition, a classic Florida work of art that I learned back around 1976. It is often my privilege as a modern-day 20th century troubadour crisscrossing the length and breadth of our beauteous, bounteous, bountiful, grand and glorious, dare I say, bicentennial land, to perform north of the Mason and Dixon line, where I'm proud to say I'm always well received by my Yankee brethren. Well, every so often some slack-jawed bimbo will come up to me and say, "Hey, Bob, you're from down there, ain't you?" I say, You're right, buddy. You say, hey, bub, you got anything to do down there for laughs? I say, sure, we got loads to do for laughs where I come from. I grew up in the Nacoochee Valley, Georgia. One winter we had a hard freeze, and my whole end of the valley turned out to watch the volunteer fire department chop the dogs off the fire plugs. Every summer, everybody come out to watch the police department repaint the white line down the center of the road. It's pretty heavy. It was a dirt road. But by far the most significant thing I ever witnessed with my own two eyes as a southerner in the Southland was when, as a resident of Coconut Grove, Florida, I beheld the phenomenon of modern times known as the Honey Dipper. Perhaps this bears a modicum of explanation. You'll see them glistening in plasticine enfilade, little truncated obelisks, each about the size of a common chiffon robe split vertically in two, each with a pyramidal roof to which is affixed a sturdy galvanized lifting eye, each with a private door unrelieved by even so much as the traditional half-moon motif, but a door emblazoned instead with some racy commercial vulgarism such as Johnny on the Spot or The Only Way to Go. And these, ladies and gentlemen, are the portalets of America. Truly a sign of the times, an index of life and living in the 20th century, the scourge of the folk festivals. Now, I used to think, like maybe you did, that when the portalet contractor wins a bid and places his portalets around on the construction job site, that his work is done. But no, this is just when his job begins. And this is where the Honey Dipper comes into play. Behold the Honey Dipper, a monstrous flatbed truck, to which is affixed a crane with a 200-foot boom, a crane actuated by an abject drunkard, a man with the cerebral propensity of a lobotomized angleworm, a retired kamikaze pilot from the Confederate Air Force. And whenever the Honey Dipper was seen to plow forth through the streets of our community, all the good old boys and good old girls would come bouncing off the bar stools, load up on that cheap booze and fling it in their beach buggies, run over to the nearest payphone and ring up their latest pelvic affiliate, and go coursing through the streets in a wild snake dance, cheering the Honey Dipper operator on to ever newer and greater exploits of aerial daring do. On this day of days, the Honey Dipper drew up adjacent to a 17-story condominium under construction with a portalet glistening gray-alike at every station. The crane operator took a preparatory dollop of scotch, placed the bottle down with solemnity, and expertly wafted the primary portalet down to the bed of the Honey Dipper, where it was summarily refreshed, and returned to its prior situation. So with the second, the third, the fourth, it was a ho-hum, humdrum affair. The crowd was restless. They had not been given that for which they lusted. Excitement, excitement, boogie fever, show business. They got what they wanted at the fifth station. The crane operator, by now totally drunk, flung the portalet out in a magnificent loop-the-loop in the sky. The crowd was up, a cheering animal, satisfied. At the 17th station, the crane operator, his brain reeling in alcoholic fulminations, recalling his halcyon days as a great stunt pilot, flung the penultimate portalet 3,000 feet out over Biscayne Bay in the most dazzling display of aerial arabesques ever witnessed in South Florida. Lazy eights, loop-the-loops, barrel house rolls, a chandelle to a hammerhead stall, and a perfect one-point landing. And at precisely the moment of impact, the door to the portalet was seen to come ajar. And a chalk-faced construction worker in a hard hat with the Playboy magazine over his knees fell out in a dead faint. I get pretty tired when people ask me if we got anything to do down home. We go watch the Honey Dipper.
That was awesome. They said they want one more. Okay.
It's one more time on the program. We want to ask our uncle and good friend John Hedgecoff to come out here on stage with the five-string banjo. Won't you make him welcome from Nashville, Tennessee? Here is John C. Hedgecoff.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you, man.
And we want to play one here that everybody can sing together. This is an old gospel song, one of Gamble's favorite gospel songs. One of the greatest defining moments in Florida folk music, in fact, came at the Tallahassee Swamp Stomp in 1984 when Gamble Rogers and cousin Thelma Bolton sang this song together on stage. So won't you sing it with us, especially since the chorus doesn't have but 7 or 8 words in it. A great old number, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
1, 2, 3. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound of time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saints of God are gathered over on that other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Now sing it with us. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when the saints of earth are gathered to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Setting sun, let us talk about his wondrous love and care. And when all our life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Thank you.
How about a big hand for Red Henry and Chris?